Thank you for being here this evening. And I'm so thankful that I can stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that I love to do. And this evening I want to talk to you about comfort. Comfort. However, in saying that, I don't mean I want everybody to snuggle down in a pew and get into the state of ease and relaxation as being comfortable. What I'm really talking about comfort, it is used in the Scripture, specifically as it's used in the first chapter of the second of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. So if you would, please, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and once arriving there, let's read verses 3 through 7. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Now, what I want us to notice is that the concept of comfort appears no less than 10 times in these few short verses. 6 times as a noun and 4 times as a verb. The passage says, and for clarity's purpose this evening, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard the following. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Verse 7, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Now these words appear at the beginning of what is undoubtedly the most personal of all of Paul's writings. Perhaps personal is not the best word to use. Emotional may be more appropriate. It's a letter that is filled with Paul's heartfelt responses to the charges that had been leveled against him. So perhaps a brief examination of the background that led to the writing of this letter will help us understand better and even to marvel at Paul's use of the word comfort as he begins his second letter. Now, if you have studied the First Corinthian letter, then you know that the church was afflicted with strife and worldly attitudes that had caused them to break into little factions. Paul had heard about this, and he was forced to deal with it. Indeed, another trip to Corinth seemed to be necessary for him if the problem was going to be dealt with successfully. But his better judgment called him to send Titus as his personal representative to sort of assess the situation, and then send a letter to the church giving them the opportunity to correct the situation. This partly on behalf of information from friends about the seriousness of the trouble in Corinth. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians as a strong rebuke of those in the church in Corinth who had involved themselves in sins. In the 1 Corinthian letter, Paul called for discipline of the most serious kind to be exercised against an immoral man who refused to repent of his sin. He also gave some very blunt and clear answers to questions that the Corinthians had apparently written to him about. It's apparent that since his departure from Corinth, a lot of problems in the church had continued, but showed some improvement. Now, what worsened was the fact that certain, and we'll call them rivals, certain rivals had begun to gain ground in the church at Corinth, and they tried to alienate the brethren there from the Apostle Paul. In fact, the situation became so critical that Paul realized he needed to make a trip to Corinth so that he could deal with them face to face with some of the problems. Yet, he still had some misgivings about such a direct confrontation. And he was afraid that that was what it would be, just a confrontation. And he didn't want that. So before he made the trip, he sent Titus to see if the situation had improved. Well, when Titus finally reunited with Paul, something we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, He told Paul that the situation in the church had improved, yet it was still apparent to Paul that he had unfinished business with the saints and certainly with some of his critics in the church of Corinth. So he was determined to rid the church in that city of its troublemakers and those who simply did not tell the truth about him. Brethren, that was the situation, and this is what makes Paul's use of the idea of comfort so profound to me and so applicable to and useful to us today. The Greek word that stands behind the English word comfort is a term that pictures God calling upon his children to come to his side where he will strengthen them and assist them. What Paul is talking about is not some soothing sympathy. No, sir, he is talking about the comfort that brings courage, or to put it another way, the comfort that enables man to cope with all that life can do to him. So think of it this way. When a small child gets scared, he or she will run to their parents for comfort. But really, it is not for comfort, it is for courage. Okay, now, mom and dad are here, so I can deal with this. That's the way the little child looks at it. That's the way we should look at it with God. Or perhaps, maybe, a bully at school has said that he's going to wait for you and beat you up after school. Well, sure it helps if you have a friend who is bigger and stronger than the bully walking with you after school. There is comfort there. But it is comfort that comes from knowing that because mom and dad are there, or because that bigger and stronger friend is there, you can handle whatever life happens to be throwing at you at the moment. And I want to tell you something personally happened to me. I remember when I was in the second grade. Now, I can remember that far back. I really can. I really can. I was in second grade at Dollfinger School down in the West End. We lived at 26 and Bank. And I was so timid and mild, because we had just moved from Beaver Dam, a town down in western Kentucky where there wasn't too many people. We just had moved there, and I was very timid. I didn't know what was going on in this big city. But a bully would take my lunch money every day, and I'd give it up. I was scared. We didn't have things like that at Beaver Dam. But so I finally told my brother. And my brother was one of the bad boys in that school. And believe me, I'd waited till the last minute, but believe me, he took care of that situation. And I never had any trouble with that guy again, believe me. He was scared to death of my brother. So that's the way I handled that. This is a simplistic explanation, though, of what Paul was talking about when he writes of comfort no less than 10 times in those 5 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 7 that we just read. Staying in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul begins by exhorting the Corinthians to give thanks for the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom he refers to as in verse 3, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. The entire Bible goes to great length to reveal God's compassionate feelings of pity and mercies towards man. The Corinthians, like so many other first century Christians, had endured and would continue to endure some of the real trials and hardships, but Paul is letting them know that God's mercy towards them had never been lacking. Indeed, God was calling them to his side all along to provide them with all the strength and the courage they would need for anything that life would throw at them. And you know what? He does the same today for you and me. Notice in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 1, who, that would be God, who comforts us in all our affliction. Paul uses the present tense there. Now, I don't want to get all tied up in tenses and all of that, neither do you. But what it means is that Paul was deeply convicted that God was always, he was always there. He was always near to encourage you. He was always there to strengthen you. He was always there to give you what you needed, regardless of what life was throwing you in this way. The really neat thing about all of this is of the trials and difficulties that Paul had gone through, and in which God had given him comfort and courage and strength to endure those things which enabled Paul to offer the comfort to the Corinthians. He knew what it was. Notice that he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, "So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Look at it this way. If I have been through a profound sickness, and God has given me the comfort that I needed, the courage and the strength to get through it, well, let me tell you, in a very personal and special way, then I can help you if you become profoundly sick. If I have gone through a personal attack and persecution, and God called me to His side to gain courage and strength, I can help you if you find yourself under personal attack and persecution. And as I look at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 1 and read of the sufferings of Christ being ours in abundance, two passages come to mind immediately. The first one is Isaiah chapter 53. And while we're not going to take the time to read the whole chapter, let's consider verses 3 through 8 with me, if you would. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 8. Isaiah 53 and verse 3. "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. And all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due." So just as the world had despised and ostracized and beaten and ultimately crucified the Lord without cause, so too would it mistreat his followers from time to time. But the Lord had told us that this would happen. You remember that? He told us. Remember John 15 and verse 20? Jesus said, you look with me if you'd like, but he said, "A servant is not greater than his master." Then listen to what he went on to say. "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So I have said that there was two verses that verse 5 brought to mind. Well, the second one is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 22 through 28. And this is a familiar passage to most of us, but there Paul gives a partial list of what he had endured to that point. And I'd like to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 22. Paul said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I'm more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of the concern for all churches." Wow. what that man went through, what he went through. All of this that Paul went through, he could go through because of the comfort, the courage, and the strength that he had because he was in Christ. As I read the book of 2 Corinthians, it becomes so readily apparent that no persecution or no difficulties that Paul faced were as painful and as hurtful to him as those that were leveled against him by those who were supposed to be his brethren. And brethren, let me tell you, I know nothing hurts like being persecuted or attacked by another Christian or one of your brethren. Nothing hurts like that. However, through it all, Christ keeps him going. Now, as we look at verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 1, we see that all of the suffering and persecution that Paul went through was really for the benefit of others. You see, in verse 6 says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Paul endured what he endured to bring them and others to the gospel of Christ and the salvation that comes with it. He didn't care what he went through. All he wanted to do is go to heaven and take people with him. At the same time as Paul was comforted by God, given strength and courage, that also was for their benefit as ours as well. Knowing, as we read in verse 7, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. And one man wrote, he said, we must ourselves have learned the art of consoling and the school of suffering before we can practice it for the benefit of others. Makes sense. And I find it fascinating that even with all the problems that the church at Corinth had had and was having, even the personal attacks upon the apostleship and personal integrity, Paul's steadfast and enduring hope for the Corinthians was that as they shared in the sufferings, that they are often the lot of the followers of Christ, we know that they would share also in the comfort. They would share in the strength and the courage available only to those who belong to the Lord. Same thing today. If we're suffering as a follower of Christ, those things won't matter because we have Christ to comfort us. And I think about this as this unique comfort that belongs to the faithful child of God. I come to view it as somewhat of a birthright. The giving of comfort was a messianic promise. God told us it would come with the coming of the Messiah, and Paul and the Lord's people at Corinth and Ephesus and Thessalonica, or anywhere and everywhere that there are faithful Christians, including today, would experience it. This comfort we can experience. We are experiencing it. In closing, let me show you what I mean. The book of Isaiah is essentially divided into two main parts. The first is chapters 1 through 39, and it's filled with dark and disturbing prophecies concerning the punishment that was to come upon the southern kingdom of Judea. It tells of how they were to be carried away into Babylonian and the hardships they would be forced there in captivity. The second part is from chapter 40 through the remainder of the book, and it is more hopeful, more messianic in nature. So turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look how Isaiah chapter 40 begins. Verses 1 through 3. Comfort. O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. You notice how it started? Comfort, oh comfort my people. Now look at chapter 61, if you would. One last passage. Let's look at chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. This, by the way, is a passage that the Lord quotes in Luke 4. And it says, verses 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. There's that word comfort again. To comfort all who mourn. Brethren, please embrace the comfort. Embrace the strength. Embrace the courage made available to us as the God of all comfort calls us to His side. And you know what? The only way you can receive that comfort is to be a child of God. That is the only way you can receive that comfort. And to become a child of God, it's very simple. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're ready to become a Christian. You need then to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God for who He is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if there's anyone here this evening who is a Christian, but maybe you haven't been as faithful as you think you should have been, take care of that today. Take care of it tonight before we leave this building. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, please come as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.